Google is panicking. For the first time in 10 years, the company's grip on search has slipped. Its market share recently dropped below 90% to 89.34%. Okay, what's the big deal? That seems like nothing. But for Google, this is a big, big problem. Google doesn't dip, not in search, never, until now. Even a 1% drop represents tens of millions of users actively choosing something else, and it's just the beginning. On May 7th, 2025, Apple announced that they were actively looking at AI-powered search engines which would replace Google as the default option on the iPhone and other devices. Google shares immediately dropped 7.5%, losing the company $150 billion worth of market cap. We might be witnessing the biggest transformation on the internet since the 2000s. But how? What is drawing millions of users away from Google? Let's wind back the clock a bit. In April 2015, Google finally reached 90% market share and has held on to that number tightly. Bing, Yahoo, and all other search engines fight for less than 10%. Everyone just uses Google, most not even knowing that other search engines exist. But when a company has such a massive monopoly, things tend to go a certain direction. When there's no competition, there's no drive to make a better product, only to make more money. Google search has slowly become worse and worse. Researchers have found Google results have become cluttered with more and more low-quality, SEO-optimized content. People figured out the way Google ticks, and gaming the algorithm became the entire focus with keyword clusters, internal link structures, or the amount of page content. That's how you get recipes which are 3,000-word blog posts answering how to boil an egg. It's not better results, it's just better at tricking Google system to rank higher, but it gets worse. Remember, Google is a public company. Even though they control the market, Wall Street doesn't want stability, they want growth. Investors want growing profits, not consistent profits, not through better products, but through more monetization. There was a strong internal conflict between product teams and ad teams. One wanted better products, but the other wanted more money, and unfortunately, I think we all know who won. Google became more and more ad-focused and objectively worse. Don't believe me? Well, maybe you'll believe Google's own past employees. Ben Gomez, the past head of search at Google, wrote an internal email that, "I think we are getting too close to the money. I think it is good for us to aspire to query growth and to aspire to more users, but I think we are getting too involved with ads for the good of the product and the company." The past vice president of engineering, search, and Discover had similar opinions. "I think finance folks are running like chickens with heads cut off. I guess the free ride is ending, and this is the first time they have to figure out how our business actually works." For context, at this time in 2019, Google had declared a code yellow, from concern it might not meet its revenue goals that quarter. Goals that just mean up forever. There was a good reason our founder separated search from ads. That separation is getting more and more blurred, but there's another problem. Once Google got massive, they stayed massive not by being better, but by spending more money. Google just pays search browsers billions of dollars to be the default option. Sure, they own the biggest browser, Chrome, but the rest, like Safari or Firefox, would use Google because they were paid to. In fact, they paid as much as $20 billion to be the default search engine on iPhones. The US Department of Justice was naturally not too happy about this. They battled Google in court and were labeled an illegal monopoly. Many people don't use Google because it's better, but out of habit and it being the default. Some aren't even aware of alternatives. A judge of the US District Court said that Google willfully engaged in a series of anti-competitive acts to acquire and maintain monopoly power in the publisher, ad server, and ad exchange markets for open web display advertising. And all of that brings us back to today. The focus on maintaining a monopoly instead of making a better product is coming back to bite them. In September 2024, Google had 90% market share, but that fell to 89.34% in October. Since then, every month outside of one, Google has been below 90%. So, what's next? We all know about the surge in AI recently. It seems like ChatGPT and the others that followed have impacted literally every industry on Earth. Every product, software, or hardware has had AI slapped on it, even things that don't make any sense. But one of the biggest disruptions was very recently. In late 2024, ChatGPT made a revolutionary change. Search.
OpenAI has announced it's rolling out its ChatGPT search engine for free. It will be available to everyone with an OpenAI account.
If you open ChatGPT, under the text field is the search button. Typing from there will bring up search results with the information and the article you can visit.
Google has already sort of introduced similar things, but you know, what OpenAI is looking to do is to turn this incredibly popular product into a kind of completely new type of search and potentially make, you know, a fortune off it.
In a survey of 5,000 US consumers, 39% used AI for online shopping, 43% for local food recommendations, 47% for product recommendations, and 55% for conducting research. This is growing and fast. In February, traffic from generative AI sources increased by 1,200% compared to July 2024. So, why AI? How is this better than just searching for it on Google? Well, let's start with the obvious. It gets rid of Google's annoying, messy results. You don't have to scroll past four or more ads just to find what you were looking for. It might not be quite as instant as Google, but it saves your time by only providing what's actually helpful, not what some company paid to have you see. This alone is huge, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. The big difference between search engines and AI platforms like GPT and Perplexity is context. Google is designed around keyword-based queries because it's built for speed and scale, for billions of searches pulling from billions of results. To find content, you need to match keywords and ignore all the fluff from your search. AI, on the other hand, are often language models so they can understand context. For example, maybe you're troubleshooting but are not the most tech-savvy person. You can ask for help but also provide that context for extremely specific instructions in basic language. You might ask, my second monitor keeps flickering randomly. It only started after I swapped to a DisplayPort cable. I've already updated my GPU drivers and checked refresh rate settings. Then, it recognizes things you've already tried, rule out a lot of results that aren't helpful, and can ask follow-up questions and identify known issues with parts of your problem in particular. With Google Search, it can't really do the same thing, and it might just bring you more results like, fix flickering screen, meaning you have to look through more of the same results before you find something new and helpful. Plus, if you don't know why something is happening or the right keyword you're missing, you're out of luck. This isn't supposed to be a sales pitch for AI. There are clearly plenty of kinks. It will sometimes bring you wrong information or get stuck in a loop. To be clear, I'm not saying AI will replace search altogether, at least not anytime soon. But AI clearly does a lot that search engines can't. And this is the first major alternative to Google we've had in over a decade, and it's definitely for the better. Stats show that users referred by AI search spent 8% more time on websites, viewed 12% more pages, and exhibited a 23% lower bounce rate compared to those referred by traditional search methods. I think this is because the sources you get with AI are more relevant, so you find what you're looking for faster and stay longer, instead of opening a search result on Google, bounce off, try another, bounce off, and etc. This is where that dip in Google's market share went, and Google is starting to panic. If you weren't convinced Google is panicking, look no further than its own staff. Scott Jensen, a 16-year veteran and former product manager at Google, explained that the AI projects I was working on were poorly motivated and driven by this mindless panic that as long as it had AI in it, it would be great. This myopia is not something driven by user need. It is a stone-cold panic that they are getting left behind. Google is getting left behind, and that terrifies them. So, what have they done? Google has been stumbling left and right with AI. There was the failure with Bard, which stated incorrect facts in Google's very own marketing.
Google says such issues are to be expected and will be addressed by its trusted testers.
Then there was Gemini, which failed in its very first demo.
Check my calendar and see if I'm free when she's coming to San Francisco this year. Gemini pulls relevant content from the image, connects with my calendar, and gives me the information I'm looking for. Oh, looks like we had a little demo issue. Let me try one more time.
Then they raced to integrate Gemini into Search, which would give you answers right away at the top of Search. But it was a bit undercooked. That's when we got results where Gemini helpfully suggested adding some glue to pizza, or that users should eat one small rock per day, and that rocks are vital sources of minerals and vitamins. After these, Google temporarily pulled Gemini, and Alphabet saw a $70 billion drop in share value. Google has now ironed out these kinks and reintroduced Gemini, though they lost a lot of valuable time. Google has also ramped up AI spend even more. In Alphabet's Q1 earnings call, they announced a 43% increase in AI spending to $17 billion. Most of that went into servers and data centers. They also committed a total investment of $75 billion over 2025. This comes with the release of Gemini 2.5, but there is another problem. It's not clear if Google and AI really work together. Remember, most of Google's revenue is from advertising. In 2023, advertising made up over 76% of Google's revenue, which was over $230 billion, much of which comes from search. But Gemini means people aren't clicking ads, and now advertisers are losing faith in Google. Raptive, which helps sell digital ads for 5,000 independent creators' websites, initially estimated AI overviews could cut visits by as much as 25% and cause the industry to lose $2 billion in annual ad revenue. But now, they think that number is maybe on the very low end. Other giants in this space like Chegg have filed lawsuits, saying Google's AI summaries has unjustly retained traffic that has historically come to Chegg, impacting our acquisitions, revenue, and employees. It might be okay for ChatGPT to do this, but for Google, this business model was basically their entire business. So in a race to catch up, Google is hurting its own core business. The irony of all of this is that Google was technically the first mover in the AI race. On June 12, 2017, Google researchers published a groundbreaking paper, "Attention is All You Need." As of 2024, that paper has been cited more than 173,000 times and is in the top 10 most cited papers in the 21st century. This is the key foundation of generative AI like ChatGPT, but ChatGPT wasn't launched until late 2022. Google had the holy grail of AI technology, and they had it before anyone else, but Google wasn't interested. Why? Well, when Sundar Pichai was appointed as CEO in 2015, he had a large focus on slimming down. There are big investments into other technologies like Google Glass, Project Loon, Google Fiber, Google Wave hadn't paid off. So instead of AI, they put their focus back into monetizing search. This is when we got those comments from past employees about too many ads. Google's focus on maintaining their monopoly is now what is eroding that monopoly. Ironic. Aidan Gomez, a co-author of that groundbreaking paper, realized this technology wasn't going anywhere at Google. It is a matter of the freedom to explore inside a huge corporation like Google. You can't freely do that product innovation. Fundamentally, the structure does not support it, and so you have to go build it yourself. So he left, but not just him. Out of the 8 co-authors of the paper, 7 have left Google, 6 founded startups, and one of them joined OpenAI. All of this happened shortly after Sundar Pichai took over and said that Google will move from a mobile-first to an AI-first world. Seems like they only did this when they were actually forced to. Now they're starting to lose their monopoly. It's only a few percent for now, but I think this is the beginning of something much bigger. Can they protect their own market share without hurting their own revenue? Google is in a paradox that many companies have faced before, and generally, it doesn't end well. Alright, real talk. Since 2017, we've dropped over 1,050 videos and racked up 150 million views. That's almost as many searches as Google gets within 30 minutes. Yet somehow, we still haven't reached 1 million subscribers. If you've been watching without subscribing all this time, consider hitting that subscribe button so that we can finally make 1 million a reality. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.